This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 92 years ago this week, an American president died. Warren G. Harding became the sixth chief executive to die in office, and the suddenness of his death quickly fueled strange rumors, including one bizarre claim that the First Lady had poisoned the president. Well, let's talk about the strange death of Warren Harding with our own medical historian, Dr. Howard Markel of the University of Michigan Medical School. So, Howard, what happened August 2nd, 1923?
The president was in the Palace Hotel, the presidential suite, no less, in San Francisco. He was making a 15,000-mile tour of the nation, including Alaska. He was the first American president to travel to Alaska. It was in getting ready for his 1924 reelection campaign. And get this, it was called the Voyage of Understanding. So long before Hillary went on her listening tours, Warren G. Harding was doing it by train. Well, his wife, Florence, was reading him the newspaper, and it was actually a complimentary article about him. And he said, yes, go on. And then he shuddered and fell on his bed and, as they say, dropped dead.
Wow. Bam. Just like that.
Yeah, just like that.
Wow. Were there any signs that he was in bad health?
Well, yes. Now, he did get sick during this journey. He wasn't feeling very well, and he blamed it on food poisoning. He ate some bad seafood, as he said. But in reality, Warren G. Harding was never really in good health. He had all sorts of problems. He was a patient just down the road at the Battle Creek Sanitarium. Dr. John Harvey Kellogg saw him on many occasions for nervous breakdowns and an enlarged heart. And in fact, if you look at Warren G. Harding's medical history, even when he was a United States senator around the years of World War I, he had signs of congestive heart failure. He was had to sleep on several pillows. He became short of breath very easily. He was having cardiac symptoms long before he died.
He also, history says, was quite a ladies' man.
Ah, he was. And in fact, Mrs. Harding burned most of his private papers. But those that have emerged suggest that he did have many an affair. Now, he was reputed to have had an illegitimate child. There is a nastier word that referred to it in the press at that time.
I remember.
And that's never really been substantiated by DNA or anything like that. But he had many an amorous affair. And in fact, many of his critics criticized him in real time for his proclivities.
What about an autopsy?
Well, Mrs. Harding said no autopsy and ordered him to the undertaker's, where he was embalmed within a few hours after he died. Now, you add his sudden death, as well as Mrs. Harding's order, as well as the fact that he had a really strange doctor. The family doctor was a man named Charles Sawyer. He was a homeopath from Ohio, where the Hardings came from. And he was treating Mr. Harding with all sorts of purgatives and emetics and doses of strychnine, much to the chagrin of his other doctor, a Navy officer named Joel Boone. So they were actually planning, both Sawyer and Boone, to get Mr. Harding a consultation with a man named Ray Lyman Wilbur, who was president of Stanford University and a very eminent cardiologist. But of course, President Harding died before that consultation could occur. Well, anyway, you bring all this together. People said, hey, what happened? What's the strange death of Warren G. Harding? Well, this really was elevated to an art form in 1930 when a man named Gaston Means, I love this name,
Means. Sounds like a Disney villain.
Now, he worked briefly for J. Edgar Hoover's Bureau of Investigation, when it was the Justice Department Bureau of Investigation, before it was elevated to
during
the FBI.
During Prohibition.
Yep. Didn't have a very successful career there. J. Edgar Hoover called him one of the most brilliant con men I ever met. And in fact, Gaston Means was involved. He's sort of the Forrest Gump of confidence men. He was involved in a lot of bad things, from Teapot Dome and Prohibition all the way to the Charles Lindbergh Jr. kidnapping.
The baby? Wow.
The baby, yeah. He had a secret plan to find the baby, which turned out to be a complete con job. And he spent the rest of his life in Leavenworth Penitentiary, where he died in 1938. But in 1930, he came out with a book called The Strange Death of Warren G. Harding. And it was quite successful. And it accused Mrs. Harding of poisoning him. But it also talked about the affairs and the scandals, and also that his doctors weren't really up to snuff, which at least two out of his three doctors resented very deeply, particularly Dr. Wilbur.
who was, I'm sure, furious that she
who was. Yeah, he, in fact, years later, he complained about, you know, people thought we were idiots and imbeciles. And of course, the rapid embalming didn't help. But there were all these rumors flying about. And he did resent that, yes.
Well, based on what we know today, medical knowledge in 2015 and looking back, what's the feeling on what caused the death of President Hardin?
You know, when he first died, the first man to walk in was none other than Herbert Hoover. He was his Secretary of Commerce. And he sent out a telegram that said he died of an apoplectic stroke. In fact, Warren G. Harding died of a good old-fashioned heart attack brought on by years of congestive heart failure. There was really nothing strange about his death at all. In fact, even his lifespan, about 58 years, was 2 years longer than what the average American male lived at that time. So there was nothing strange at all.
If that's not a testament to what medicine's been able to accomplish in less than a century.
Yeah, as I get closer to 58, which is knocking on the door, I'm not so happy with that lifespan at all.
Looking at the strange death of President Warren G. Harding, U of M medical historian, Dr. Howard Markell, thank you so much.
Thank you.